We're moving through the book of Ephesians, and we're in Ephesians 5, where we get to spirit-filled relationships. So if you'll turn to Ephesians 5, we're going to do three verses today. Does that mean you're going to get out early? I doubt it, but three verses that you're all familiar with. Look at verse 18, Ephesians 5, 18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Charles Spurgeon talked about the Holy Spirit, and he said this: organizations without the Holy Spirit are like mills without power. Even a church that is thoroughly orthodox and accepts biblical standards is as useless as clouds without rain until it is endued with power from on high. Dr. Carl Bates, that baptized my mother and was president of the Southern Baptist Convention, said this when he was at First Baptist Charlotte: if God called his Holy Spirit out of the world, about 95% of what we are doing would go on and we would still brag about it. That's one of his assessments of the Southern Baptist Convention. Someone told him there's 16 million people in the Southern Baptist Convention, and he made the comment, well, we're many, but we're not much. Okay. I want to talk first of all about the context, the city of Ephesus. We talked about the fact that Ephesus had the Temple of Artemis or the Temple of Diana, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, that temple. The goddess of love, they had temple homosexuals and temple prostitutes that you went and did ritual sex magic. It was a great seaport. It was an international trading center. There were many cultures there, and one of the cultures there was the worship of Dionysus, or the Roman name for him is the Roman god Bacchus, the god of wine. The god of wine, partying, revelry, wild music, frenzied dancing, bodily mutilation, orgies, drunkenness, addictions. And so Paul's writing to them, and the Ephesian people could identify with this. In fact, we looked at chapter 2, verse 1, where he talked about, hey, you guys used to do all this stuff. Ephesians 2, 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past, do you remember the past? You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Yeah, you guys remember, you were a part of it. And what do we got today? We've got wild music, addictions, drunkenness, suggestive lyrics, profanity while dancing, you know, Ecclesiastes 1:9. There is nothing new under the sun. Read the Bible. Are things any worse than they used to be? Things have always been bad. People have always been wicked. The world has always been a tough place. You know, John Wayne said one time, life is tough. It's tougher when you're stupid. But that's the truth. Okay, so the comparison, that's the context, the comparison. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a command. It's an active command. Stop being drunk. Methusko, drunk. What does that mean? To completely soak something in something. To completely soak someone in wine. Now, I always love the people that say, well, Jesus drank wine. Jesus made wine. Yeah. He told Timothy, you know, every drunk I know can quote 1 Timothy 5:23, take a little wine for your stomach's sake. Use it as medicine. Now, what's the difference between wine back then and wine today? Okay. Oinos, the Greek word for wine, is the fermented juice of the apple, grape, or pear. And as it starts fermenting, as the yeast starts producing alcohol, there's a point at 3 or 4% alcohol where the alcohol kills off the yeast. It doesn't become more alcoholic. The wine of the Bible was like cider, 3 or 4%. I think if you look at a bottle of wine, it's 11 to 15% alcohol. That would be 2 to 3 times as much alcohol as the wine of the Bible has in it. So it's interesting to remember that. But the point is not don't drink. And I don't know anything good that comes from drinking. I'll just be honest with you. But the point is, what is controlling your life? Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, up in the Swiss Alps, they have those great big dogs, those St. Bernards, and they rescue people that are stranded in the snow, you know, and they have that keg of brandy under their chin. Red Skelton used to tell the joke about the two drunks that were lost in the Alps, and the St. Bernard dog comes running up, and one of them says, "Look, there's man's best friend." And the other one says, "Yeah, and there's a dog, too." DUIs, driving under the influence. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. What controls us? Controlled by alcohol, it alters personality. You know the three kind of drunks, or the four kind of drunks. There's the weepy drunks. And they just get all sad, and their life's bad and terrible and boo-hoo. And then there are the angry drunks, and they always want to fight somebody when they get drunk. And then there are the talky drunks, and I have a couple in my family that you don't call them after 8 o'clock at night, or they'll just talk and talk, say the same thing over and over again. And, you know, talky drunks, some of you know those people. What does alcohol do? It loosens your tongue. It loosens the pocketbook. People get drunk, they want to buy everybody else drinks in the bar. It gets rid of inhibitions and actions. How many robberies, how many assaults, how many rapes have occurred because someone was drunk? You know, Norm Wolfinger, the state attorney up in Seminole County, I was on a committee with him one time, and he looked at me and said, "You know, Wade, how many people we prosecute that their attorney says, if they weren't on drugs, if they weren't drinking, they wouldn't have done this crime?" Yeah. Okay. Drunkenness gives people boldness. Little guys want to fight big guys. Now, I know some people say it's not the size of the man in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the man. But little guys get really brave when they get drunk, okay? And it gives fellowship. Drunks will sympathize with each other. They'll cry with each other. You know, people backslide in church, and we want to condemn them and kick them out of the church. You know, they go to a bar and they'll get all the sympathy and fellowship they want. You know, there's more fellowship in a bar than there is in a Christian church sometimes. There's more support in a bar than there is in a church sometimes. And we need to face that. Ogden Nash was a Rye poet. He wrote a two-line poem about drinking. "Candy's dandy, but liquor's quicker." And then he wrote a four-line poem about drinking. "I met a man upon the stairs, a little man that wasn't there. He wasn't there again today. I hope to gosh he goes away." Okay. Mark Twain, if you have the Joy of Cooking cookbook, which is the classic American cookbook, under the eggnog recipe, where you put liquor in it, it has a quote by Mark Twain: "Too much anything is bad, but too much liquor is just enough." Be not drunk with wine wherein there is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who was the medical doctor to the Queen of England, and God called him to preach, and he followed G. Campbell Morgan at Westminster Chapel in London. He said this: "Alcohol affects self-control, wisdom, understanding, discrimination, and judgment." And I think we could also say the Holy Spirit affects self-control, wisdom, understanding, discrimination, and judgment. Alcohol is a depressant. The Holy Spirit is a stimulus. It stimulates the good character qualities in us. Galatians 5:22, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance." It stimulates action. 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And characteristics: the context, the challenge, the characteristics. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, in both conditions, people are controlled by another power. In both conditions, people's walk is affected. Boy, he's a stumble-down drunk. Okay. The person is excited and animated in both conditions. But let me tell you what being filled with the Holy Spirit isn't. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not the baptism of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, by one Spirit are we all baptized in the body of Christ. That happens when we get saved. All these people talking about, oh, you're a Christian and later you get baptized in the Spirit, that is unbiblical. The Bible says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We are baptized into the body of Christ when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. The filling of the Spirit is not the Holy Spirit being in us, in the sense that when we become a Christian, Jesus comes into our heart. We have the Holy Spirit in us. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. John 14:16, in that day I will be in my Father, and my Father will be in me, and I will be in you. So every Christian has the Holy Spirit inside. It's not an anointing or special power. It's not a sealing. Ephesians 1 says you're sealed by the Holy Spirit when you become a Christian. Now, I think I'm going to make some jelly in the next month or two. I've got all the clean jelly glasses and everything. And I'm going to mix in the pectin and put in the sugar and put in the juice. And I'm going to make jelly and I'm going to put it in the jelly jars and I'm going to seal them. What does sealing do? It preserves. It keeps. It provides for a long shelf life. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit, Ephesians says. It's an assurance we have. Jesus said, my Father is greater than I. No man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. John 10:29. We believe that. 1 Peter 1:5 says, if we are God's children, we are kept by the power of God unto salvation. God does the keeping. Now, it's up to me to keep myself saved. It wouldn't work. You either. But we don't keep ourselves saved. God keeps us. Read that verse, 1 Peter 1:5. Kept by the power of God unto salvation. Interesting. So how do you get filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, first of all, you confess and put away your sins. 1 John 1:9, some people call this the Christian bar of soap. 1 John 1:9. We confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to forgive us of all unrighteousness. Or Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But who that confesses and forsakes it shall have mercy. Proverbs 28:13. Yield to the Holy Spirit's control. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. Obey the Bible. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Read it, study it, obey it. Empty yourself of you and ask to be filled with God. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Some people say it's like spiritual breathing. You breathe out your sins and confess them, and you breathe in the filling of the Holy Spirit. Confess your sins and ask God to fill you with his Spirit, and he will. Make Jesus Lord of your life, boss of your life. Remember, it's a control thing. A drunk is controlled by alcohol. The Christian is to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is boss. Jesus appeared to doubting Thomas, John 20:28. And when he appeared to Thomas, Thomas fell down on his knees and said, my Lord and my God. Jesus was God, but Jesus was Lord, boss, in control. Make Jesus Lord of your life. The context of Ephesus, the comparison, drunk with wine, filled with the Spirit, the characteristics of being Spirit-filled, the consequence. Look at verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Number one is worship. The word psalm in Greek is psalmos. They just transliterated it into English letters. It's a song to be sung with musical instruments. Now, I know there's some groups, like the people over there, next door, that don't believe in using instruments. They said musical instruments are not mentioned in the New Testament. Well, I also know the saying, I feel as out of place as a piano at a Church of Christ convention. Okay? The Bible says we are to sing psalms. Those are songs to be sung with musical instruments. And we're to sing hymns and spiritual songs. Those are things written by us, testimonies of God. How great thou art. John 1:4, we are to express joy. John 1:4 says, I write these things unto you that your joy may be full. We're supposed to have fun. We're supposed to have joy. I think some of those people singing on the screens today, I think they were excited and had fun. I think the McCabes were excited. I'm going to be excited, right? Okay. Christian joy is not a shallow emotion like a thermometer that changes with the atmosphere we're in. It's a deep experience of knowing God is adequate and having confidence in God in spite of our circumstances. How does the real church work? And it has to be in this order. First of all, we look upward. We praise and worship God. Our focus is Jesus. Our focus is what Jesus wants in the world. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's an upward focus. After we get that, then there's an inward focus. We minister to each other. There's 18 one another's in the New Testament. Be ye kind one to another. Provoke one another with love and good works. I'm trying to think of some more. They're all over the place. Minister to one another with spiritual gifts. 1 Peter 4. All kinds of one another's. We minister to each other. We have a healthy spiritual body, body of Christ, upward, inward, and once both of those are in place, then we can go outward. We have something to offer to the world. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that is the order a church has to do it in. Some churches, it's all about them. Look at a church's budget. How much money is spent on them and their activities? And how little is spent on missions? Look at a church. Is it a country club? Us four and no more? I can think of a church right here in Polk County that runs 30. And within 2 miles of the church, they have 3,000 mailing addresses of people and 6 new subdivisions being built within a mile of the church, and they're not growing and reaching out. I think that's a us four and no more mentality. We're happy the way it is. We don't need to bring any new people in. It's not about new people. It's about saving souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So upward, inward, then outward. Wow. An example of that would be the old Queen Mary, the ocean liner. It's in Los Angeles Harbor. They went to inspect it, and they inspected the smokestacks. They found out the metal smokestacks had totally rusted out. The only thing standing there was 50 coats of paint. It looks like it has smokestacks, but all it's got is 50 coats of paint. Looks good on the outside, but the inside has gone. The focus of the church, first upward, then inward. Then outward. That's the way it works. And then thankfulness, giving thanks always for all things unto God and our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 22 talks about that. Psalm 22:3 says, the Lord inhabits the praise of his people. Psalm 22:26 is another verse that says the same thing. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. People that are seeking God praise God. Warren Wiersbe said one time, the devil moves in when a Christian starts complaining and stops being thankful. Thanksgiving in our spirit defeats the devil and glorifies God. Ephesians 5:20 qualifies it, you are thankful in the name of Jesus. You're consistent with God and Jesus. What's Jesus thankful for? What is Jesus not thankful for? Well, should we praise God for evil when bad things happen? Well, if it comes from the devil, James 4:7 says, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Do we praise God for pain and suffering? The Bible tells us to rejoice with those who do rejoice and weep with those who weep. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 1 that we go through things in our life so we in turn can help other people go through things in their life. Should we thank God for tragedy? Well, we don't always understand tragedy. The love chapter says we see things through a glass darkly. We don't always see the big picture. We don't always see things from God's point of view. There's a bigger picture than just us. And we remember that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. We don't always understand God's plan. We don't always see God's plan. We may not understand it till we get to heaven, but we rejoice in the things that Jesus would rejoice about. Trials must and will befall, but with the humble faith to see, love is inscribed upon them all. And that is happiness to me. So we have the context, we have the charge, we have the characteristics, we have the cooperation, one another. Don't throw your weight around in church. Don't become great at the expense of somebody else. Bible says we are to be in one accord and one mind. Philippians 2:1-4. We don't order people around. We take orders from Jesus. We serve one another because we all serve Jesus. In fact, the motto of our association right now is better together, and that should be the motto of every church. Every church is better together. Provoke one another to love and good works. Proverbs says, look at the ants. Now, I don't like ants. Ants bite me. When ants bite me, I have to inject myself with an EpiPen these days. I don't like that. It looks like a harpoon. But ants are a lesson in the Bible. One ant can't pick up a stick, but a bunch of ants, do ants have packs or herds or prides? Or, no, ants are just a bunch, okay? A bunch of ants can move a heavy object. Ants can lift weight hundreds of times heavier because they work together. And that's what we need to understand from this passage. A Christian that is not effective is defective. A Christian that is not effective is defective. Be not drunk with wine when there is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. I heard this old country preacher say one time, he said, I can't hold much, but I can overflow lots. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. I can't hold much, but I can overflow lots. But the only way you get the Holy Spirit is to put your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You need to repent of your sins and ask Jesus to come into your heart to save you. And if you do that, he will. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so you have an opportunity to do that as we sing our invitation hymn. Betty's going to come to the organ. Number 238, breathe on me. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Number 238. Let's all stand together and we'll sing this song.